CliffCentral.com. At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald here. This is the Leadership Masterclass, and the 3 hours, 12 to 3, is Leadership Transformation Platform. We're talking ethical moral leadership. That was the first half hour, our master lesson. In the studio today, in the hub of Cliff Central, we have managers from Sibanye, our main sponsor of the show, which is fantastic. Great ads, and we're grateful for the partnership with them. And those leaders will engage with Zimavavi for a few minutes after the show, after the Leadership Masterclass. Any questions they have. So, Zwelin Zima, just, I don't know, maybe I'm not reading widely enough when it goes as far as Google is concerned, but what are you doing exactly now? We know you as the former Secretary General of COSATU. You were almost anonymous with that. So before we go to the heavy conversation today with you and what's happening in the country, tell us what you're doing now. What's keeping you busy?
Well, I've been asked to convene the Workers' Summit, and by 34 unions that are rallying behind a call we have made that South Africa at this moment require a independent trade union voice to strengthen its democracy. And so we're in a process towards having a major summit at the end of this month, and to see South Africa and workers, democracy and the working people, what's going on, what are the challenges, and how do we move forward. And one hopes that in that summit there will be unanimity on the need to establish an independent trade union movement that will be independent from employers, whether these employers are in the public or private sector, or a trade union federation or movement that will be independent from political parties. Because one of the biggest lessons we have come to appreciate and to learn in these first 22 years of democracy is that any trade union movement that gets too close into a political party, be that political party in power or not in power, that political party or that trade union movement risks of being a lackey, a lapdog, and drawn too close to the internal shenanigans of factions that will affect it one way or another. And I think COSATU is a typical example of a movement that moved too close into the relationship with the ruling party, so that every problem that transpires inside the ruling party affects the trade union.
So this is a competition for COSATU. Trying to improve on that.
We hope that COSATU can see the light very soon and form part of this movement towards independence.
So
we have opened the door to them.
Okay.
To say, come on, guys, you know that workers are, their voice have been fundamentally weakened in the past 3 years or so. And you know the reason is that COSATU have been imploded precisely because COSATU began to pursue the political interest instead of defending the workplace and the societal challenges and that are facing the working people. And so, but we've opened the door to everybody. Come on, let's work together. Let's build an independent trade union movement. In South Africa, we know that workers who belong to unions continue to decline precisely because unions are not serving the workers as they should. Only about 26% today of workers belong to any union. And that's a disgrace. And bearing in mind our history, we were all involved in this massive struggle against apartheid, it could not be that we now suddenly counted amongst the unions or the democracies that are 100 years old, where the issue of unions is no longer as appealing as it should be, because in those societies they have social security system, they have social wage, buses and transport system, healthcare, education in place, and therefore the issue of belonging to union is not very appealing for young people. But in South Africa we still have massive unemployment, we have a two-tier health education system, we have both of them are in crisis, in particular for the majority, and therefore the issue of defending unions and members, defending members rather, should be one of the preoccupations of every South African today. Inequalities are growing, income inequalities in particular have grown out of hand. So if you're asking me what is that I'm doing, I'm a convener of that workers summit. Mm. And we will have a press conference on this Thursday accidentally, where we will announce when is this workers' summit, what are we doing on May Day, what campaigns we think that are absolutely critical at this particular moment.
Major changes.
That's what I do.
Major changes in the
pipeline.
Yeah, in the pipeline.
Look, I think one thing to appreciate about Zweli is his longevity as a leader. I think when I began my journalism career, you know, he was there and he's still there. So, I mean, this is all interesting, but I'm interested to know from you, Zweli, because we know what you went through within COSATU and what ended up happening with you, you know, being expelled from COSATU. So, what do you think helps you give you the legitimacy to be a convener for this very important process? Because clearly you've looked at the rearview mirror, you've seen the mistakes that have been made, but Do you think you have the capacity, you know, with all that has happened, to be the voice of reason to bring this about?
I will only say that one of the things that I know people have told me over and over that they like about my style of leadership is consistency and courage. Mm-hmm. And if you combine both, and every day you're predictable, you know that this is what you stand for and this is what you will always condemn, and that becomes synonymous with yourself, and the courage to say the right things even if the environment is not very favorable for that to happen. I've had over 35 years of involvement in the struggle against the apartheid system and for social justice in South Africa. In the process, I have made many mistakes, including quite personal, embarrassing mistakes, such as the one that is always quoted and used against me at all the time. But at the same time, I've acknowledged that that was an error. I've called it an own goal of imaginable proportions. And a lot of people always want to use that to shut me down on the other moral, ethical issues that I raise, to say, hey, you have no moral standing to raise these issues. And so they will always do that until the day I die. I guess that's your responsibility to try and capitalize on that. But every average South African will know that, look, I made a mistake in trusting. I think my biggest mistake was to trust the current president. Mm. And was to even think that the charges of 783 do not matter more than the crisis of unemployment, poverty, inequality in South Africa, which was my preoccupation. And I had thought that he will be the key to addressing those issues from the working class point of view. I was wrong. And I've admitted that in public, that he had proven me wrong, in fact, in the very first year in his presidency. And it was not even a year of him being a president that we started to see very disturbing trends, red lights all over the show. And again, it had to take a person of my courage to go to the president and say, President, this is not the deal. The deal was decent work, education, healthcare, rural development, and fighting corruption and crime. what you're currently doing have nothing to do with all of those things. Maybe that's why I signed my death sentence. I don't know, because it was 2 months down the line I received my first death threat. And 3 years down the line I received a second death threat. All of them related to the intimidation by the state, and in my view. So, but it doesn't mean that we must now run around and say, oh, you will receive death threats. Malima was stopped by 10 police cars last night, I'm told, and rifles pointed at him and all of that, which I think is part and parcel of the trend that is unfolding in the country. Somebody in the Eastern Cape was shot 8 times in his head for leading resistance against an Australian company that wants to mine in their village. And a student remains missing in Umtata, and who was the face of the fees must fall, outsourcing must fall. 16 people are 6 feet down underground in Mpumalanga. A host of people are being killed in KZN. Botswana and Moss Parkway have been killed in the northwest. And two comrades I know have been killed in the Free State.
Disturbing, eh?
It's quite disturbing. I mean, disturbing. But if we were all to say, oh, you will be killed and you will become part of the statistics because the political hyenas have secured so much power, then it will mean that we must just hand over the future of our children to the political hyenas to do as they wish.
So, I mean, so your question of the legitimacy, obviously a lot of people have asked you to do this. So there's something big coming here. You've got your COSATUS, and who's the union that's now grown so fast because of COSATUS' weakness?
AMCU.
AMCU? They also invited, I guess, but pride, humility, what will stop them from joining this? It's a philosophical disagreement, but I guess no, they won't.
They won't join because of self-interest. We spoke about the self-serving interest of leaders. COSATU now is nothing but an instrument for its leaders to join the gravy train in parliament. And when they there serve no interest of a broader society, worst of all, an interest of the workers themselves.
That's been your power. You never went to parliament.
I refused.
Yeah.
And when I was offered, I see people misunderstand me a lot of times. I was making a statement that I thought that Chris Hani made just before he died, that if all of us were to pack our bags and run into parliament to serve and to be the new ministers, MPs, I can tell you the democracy in South Africa will weaken. And that's why I always say, had Chris Hani lived long enough with the stature and the credibility that he enjoyed, I frankly believe that we would have not seen the fracas we currently seeing inside and outside the ANC affecting our state. I've made the point that trade unions must be about serving the interest of workers and not serving the narrow interest of its leaders. And I'm very happy that I made that statement. I would have been into the cabinet if I had decided to close my eyes on these moral, ethical issues that we're speaking about and to begin serving my interest and that of my family. I would be perhaps one of those who were clapping their hands when the fire pole demonstrations were being done in parliament. And these were big people, I mean, the big guns of the ANC who went to clap hands and give a round of applause to the Minister of Police when he was doing that.
So you've had a detour on this incredible mission. I know you were a real threat to government. You seem back on track. Is Welanzima Vavi back on track in South Africa? You're going
to
make a difference.
We need to strengthen an independent trade union voice in South Africa. That's one thing for sure. A democracy with weak trade unions is no democracy. And I'm sparing no energy on my part to ensuring that we reach that destination.
So politics is not your future. It's trade unionism, strengthening that.
The challenge we face in South Africa today is that workers' voice has been fundamentally weakened. ETOLs are in place. The youth wage subsidy is in place. An inappropriate economic policy framework is in place. Corruption is running out of hand. 8.3 million people are unemployed, or 34% of the population as a whole, the biggest of which is young people. 53%, according to Stats South Africa, of our people live in poverty, and inequalities are growing. We have now become the most unequal society in the whole world.
And you have an economy that's just pointing downward.
You have an economy that
is staring
the barrel of being downgraded to a junk status, which will make it impossible for every person. People mustn't think that this will affect your sponsors, Sibaya and other big guns. No, when that junk status is declared on the country, that country suddenly finds itself basically in such a deep, dark hole that it will take another generation to climb out of. And that's the threat we're facing. I mean, we are told we will grow by
0.9.
That's a very optimistic look. But these other guys are now reviving that all the time to 0.4. Just imagine now when a constitutional court, the highest court in the world, says your head of state and the National Assembly have both violated their oath of office. What should that mean to the everybody?
But that moment when the Constitutional Court gave its verdict, you felt that there was confidence in some degree coming back into the country. What it needed was a momentum and a strengthening by the reaction of the President and the ANC. Currently, it feels like that momentum was blocked, and now we're back on junk status, route. Depending on what's going to happen today, tomorrow, we'll see the reaction of the NWC, whether that results in anything miraculous.
Can I just add one thing to this question? Because I think it's important to look ahead. Okay, the question I asked about legitimacy, I think, applies very appropriately to the question about the president moving forward. How can he lead when he is not legitimate anymore? Or is seen as illegitimate?
The prof, when he was here, said that if your membership is unethical itself, if everybody have a skeleton, a smaller nyana skeleton in the closet, then those are your standards. The bar have been lowered tremendously, in my view, from the bar set too high by Nelson Mandela, Chris Hani, Luthuli, and Joe Slovo and others. It's now way down. That is at a place now where everybody have a skeleton, a smaller nyana skeleton to hide, and therefore the people who have skeletons to hide may also have, in fact, sometimes even greater fear than the president who fears 783. We don't know what is in that closet. Except that we know that once the president of the Women's League, who herself actually pleaded guilty to in parliament to charges of misusing the traveling allowance money in parliament to her benefit, and so that's what we're dealing with here. Everybody fears something. So don't even look at this NWC and today. It's not even something that I think is important in the diary. The lines have been drawn. They were drawn at a time when the ANC for so many times had an opportunity to stand up for the truth. But they decided to walk away from it. I mean, at a time when the Guptas were known to be calling people to their residence, people should have said, but where were these people in the first place when we fought against the mighty army of the apartheid? And why must we now be ordered by some family to come and account in the sexist world? Very strange. At the time when they were landing a helicopter in the zoo, and they wanted to build a helipad in the roof of their own house to make life impossible for their neighbors, the ANC should have stood up there and said, now, who are you? And at the time when they could fly around, I'm told that they were flying around Johannesburg, Pretoria, for the long time, these guys, before they landed the they are playing in the nerve center of our security systems, water glove. At that time, courage should have arisen to say, but why are you allowing this circumstance?
So what do you foresee as well going forward? Because we have on one hand Julius Malema saying the president will never be allowed to speak in parliament now. At the same time, you know, obviously the momentum seems to be getting lost, like Adrian is saying. But you highlight the very fundamental problems that the country faces. Can anything happen in this climate?
I'm expecting nothing whatsoever to come out of the ANC, the NWC, NEC, or anything like that. Not that the people who of high moral, ethical standards are all gone in the ANC. You've heard them. You've read the letter this weekend from Ahmed Kathrada, the stalwart Istwalandwe of the ANC. You had a letter and the public statements being made by many other stalwarts. I mean, whose credibility cannot be questioned by any of the current.
But what's going to happen next then? So nothing. Supposing nothing. Okay, yeah, nothing from the ANC. But yeah. In South Africa, what's now going to happen? The Malema route?
I think that what we've made a call to people to unite and to unite and unite across all the usual divisions of class, of race,
political divide,
of political divides and ideology, all of that. And I think that there is a greater sense I have that people are quite interested into that route. I hope that I will meet the president of the EFF tomorrow sometime, if he will not now go to parliament, because there is now a debate in parliament about whether this president is suitable to lead us or not. I've met the leadership of the UDM, I've met the leadership of COPE, and I hope that, and I've encouraged them as the opposition parties to now throw away all of the divisions and meet. And we're coordinating another meeting of the Unite Against Corruption, the civil society coalition of 250 NGOs and other organizations to meet. And I think that unity across civil society and political formations, anyone who says now the challenge we're facing is to protect the basic tenets of our freedom, the cornerstones of our democracy, which is the Constitution, must unite and speak in one voice. I think that that's where we are going to now.
Okay.
Yeah. And what happens if, say, Zuma goes? I mean, because, again, we're living in such a time when you have these outliers, you never know what's going to happen. What happens? What's the day after Zuma look like?
In particular, and if I can take your question to its full length, do you replace, for example, President Jacob Zuma with President Gwede Mandashe, the one that we saw his real face on Friday night, extremely arrogant and overconfident, defending the indefensible? Do we replace him with another Cyril Ramaphosa, who was part of the meeting that gave the president a mandate to go and tell our people in their face that they can jump? Because that's what actually happened on Friday at 7 o'clock. The president came, condemned left, right and center by the highest court of the land, and he came to South Africans and say, blame someone else, I'm taking no responsibility over this one. It was an advice I've received and so forth and so forth. It's not me. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he didn't even apologize to us. He says, I apologize for the confusion, as if we were ever confused, and for the frustrations. Mm. Of course, we were extremely frustrated that he will take 250 million rands to his personal benefit. And we absolutely, not only frustrated, we're absolutely angry that that is happening under our watch. Okay. So that's the question. That's the question that we must all ask. Do we replace President Zuma with Gwede Mandashe or Cyril Ramaphosa? Because in that case, I'm convinced that you will be rejecting a spoon of milli, and take another spoon from the same bag. They represent the same moral, ethical standards, bankrupt in every way that
you. So there's a vacuum.
There is a massive vacuum in South Africa, and everybody stands up now to say we represent the new beginning. Every political party, of course, will jump into that space, and the EFF, the DA, the UDM, all of them realize that this is there is a vacuum and they are jumping into that space. I'm in the union. For now, I will want to concentrate in that. There's another huge voice, I must say, in the trade union movement of people who says what we need alongside a new trade union movement is a workers' party in South Africa to contest the ANC from the left of itself and to do what it should have done through the Freedom Charter and through its own previous resolutions such as the 1969 Morogoro Conference. People are agitating. In fact, if you look at the survey conducted by I can't remember now the institution, but a very legitimate institution that usually conducts all the surveys, they did a very interesting survey for the Nelson Mandela Metro, where they came to public to say the ANC support have fallen now from 48% in 2014 to 43% at the end of last year, and that the DA has grown to 36-37%. Mm-hmm. But the phenomenon in the working class area is that the people were asked if the United Front was to field independent candidates, would you back them? Anything between 26-34% of the residents in Nelson Mandela said, we will back that. Now, mind you, the United Front have not even been launched. It doesn't have a president, a face, or anything like that.
When that happens...
Can you imagine if the workers' movement was to emerge, what will happen in the political space in the country? But for me now, my preoccupation is... Right. Build an independent trade union movement.
Nzima Bavi, we're over time, but very 10 seconds. Someone's asking here on the screen your relationship with Julius Malema.
Always warm. I never agreed with the putting out of Julius Malema for those reasons.
Okay.
As a president of the Youth League, and I've maintained a relationship with him ever since.
Okay.
And even though he may say things I don't approve, I will not go out in public. I'll rather speak to him in private about those issues. I don't want to help anybody who is actually responsible for the implosion of the Youth League and to gain ground out of the mistakes of the EFF or of Julius Malema. That's where I stand. I maintain that relationship is a very warm relationship of comrades.
Okay. And one can never write him off. Interesting times ahead. Alice, Louis, it's wonderful to be in the middle of all of this, interviewing leaders, talking to leaders about all of this. Let's end off with our Sibanye executive leadership inspiration thought. And it comes from Tuli Maroncela. At times, she tweeted, we too have to stand alone with only hope as our companion. If you stand for the truth and do so long enough, hope does eventually pay. That's Tuli Maroncela. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Willem Zimavavi, thank you. As always, we'll have you back again. I mean, so much happening, and good luck with the Workers' Party. Workers' Summit. It may result in a federation, or it may result in a party. Who knows? And next up, our business masterclass. Richard Anger is going to take care of that for us. It's going to be very interesting. We've got from USB Ed, Dr. Milani Prinsloo. The conversation is all about customer experience, measuring customer experience, and more. And of course, we have a live SME audience who can ask questions at any time. We're going to ask that most of the questions happen in the second half of the Business Masterclass. So do stay with us here on Cliff Central.
At Sibanye Gold, we've come to realize that there's nothing small about SMMEs, the small to medium-sized businesses that employ millions of people and pay billions in tax every year. Which is why we pride ourselves in providing support, leadership coaching, assistance and advice to help grow SMMEs. You could say we're giving them a golden opportunity to grow. Sibanye Gold, we are one. CliffCentral.com.